Good morning, church. We're so excited that you're all here today. It is sunny and it's supposed to be hot. Good Memorial Day weekend. We know that there's a lot of you that are joining us probably on live stream today. We're happy to have you worshiping with us at home. We're happy to have you here today. So this is a song that I know you all know. And if you don't know, I promise you know the words already, because watch this. God is good all the time. Wherever you are at, we will get started.
This is my story.
Take a seat. Welcome to Discovery Community Church. My name is Bobby. I'm one of the leaders here. And God is good. Amen. Yeah, it's good all the time. Well, listen, we are so grateful that you chose to worship with us here today. If you're watching online, drop us a line. Let us know where you're watching from and who you're watching with. What you can expect. Well, when you walked in today, if this is your first time here, you got one of our worship envelopes. And inside of this envelope, there's a special gift for you. It's called a connection card. And this connection card allows you to let us know what's going on in your life, helps us to celebrate with you, to pray for you, to meet real felt needs. And so if that's you today, keep that handy because you're going to want to turn to that later on today. What we want you to know is that we have a lot of events happening this spring into summer. First is All In. All In Session 1, it's a two-session event that lets you know all about what it means to worship here, be a member of Discovery Community Church. So if you're curious about Discovery and what it means to be a member of this church, mark your calendars for May 31st. To register, there's a QR code up there. It's a squiggly picture. Take a picture of that with your phone or write it down on your connection card. We'd love to invite you to that two-session series. All right? Hey, we got some graduates that are going to be graduating soon, and that's an exciting time. I think so what we're going to do is we're going to recognize our graduates on June 7th. And so you can fill out a form online, or you can talk to Abby. She can give you some more information. I think she'll be able to answer questions like, is there a threshold? Because some of y'all believe that kindergarten to first grade is graduation. And I don't know if we're going to recognize that. But we'll be clear about what we're going to celebrate, and you can let us know either on your connection card or let Abby know. That'd be great. Hey, June 28th, mark your calendars. Baptisms is coming up. Woo. And so I know, I live with at least one person who's going to get baptized, so we're very excited for that. And so you can sign up online today, or you can talk to Pastor John or myself or Kirsten in Disco Kids if your young person wants to be a part of our baptisms. Again, that's on June 28th. We want to make sure you understand what baptisms mean from a biblical standpoint, and so it's important that you let us know before that date, so we'd love to hear from you. Hey, here's what you can expect today. We're going to sing a few more songs. I'm going to continue our sermon series of Real ID, and then we'll continue in worship through giving back to God and responding using our connection card. And then afterwards, we'll hang out a little bit. And then we'll make this place, turn it back into a cafeteria. Because I don't know if you knew that. That's what this is. We've done a great job, I know. But this is actually a cafeteria. But before we do anything else, over the past several weeks, we've been sharing videos of folks capturing their stories about what Discovery has meant to them over the past 25 years. We're celebrating in 2026, 25 years of Discovery Community Church right here in Tacoma. And so we have another video installment from someone sharing their story. Let's listen to Sandra Womack.
I'm Sandra Womack. I have been attending Discovery since 2016 when we were meeting at the middle school, Giordroni Middle School, over there by the Tacoma Mall. I was invited by a dear friend of mine, Marisha Beckman. We went to graduate school together, and we just connected right off the bat. And she said, you know, I think you might like my church. We have a small group, and, you know, give it a try. And I said, oh, okay. And it took a few months, and I showed up, and then, you know, I never looked back. It's like family to me. I grew up in church. I guess I was churched out for a while. And I just needed to find identity. Identity more with the Lord first and foremost. And I was at a crossroad, honestly. Until my friend Marisha said, you should try out my church. And really took a few months because I was really reluctant because I was churched out. But I loved the Lord, and I knew there was more in terms of growth for me. but I just didn't know how to get there. And so through God's work, I feel like real strong that God has a hand in it. That I stayed in just leaning in, even though I wasn't sure if Discovery was where I really belonged, until I started to lean in and started to trust and open up and be vulnerable. And through that process, I'm able to build really authentic relationships, not only with the people that I lean in close to, but also allowing people to lean in with me. And however the Lord leads me, I think God's family is big, it's wide, it's everywhere. And I could just say the root of Discovery is really embracing people and really loving on people and the way that God has a hand in it. And I just feel the compelling process in that as I grow more and lean into Jesus. And therefore, I have stayed with my brothers and sisters in that way, encouraging and sharing each other's burdens and walking through this life, not independent, but as a community. And I feel like that's why I feel a sense of belonging, because every Sunday is a family reunion and I just love it. I just love it. I look forward to it.
We'd like to invite you all to stand as we continue our worship today. Would you stand and pray with me? God, I thank you that you give us families, that you give us a church family, that you give us friends. I thank you that you provide those things to us when our hearts are empty, when our hearts are longing for something more. And I thank you for your love, that it's your love that grows us, that changes us. When we're not worthy, you are worthy. When we're not good, you are good. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Open up.
Your mercy falls, I raise my hands
rise unto the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I lift my eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I lift my eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Of heaven and earth. So I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hand, for you are who you are.
Father, we're grateful that you see us even in the storm. And as we walk in the valley, God, you're there. Not only are you there, you're close. Would you help us to see you in those spaces? To trust you in those times. That we wouldn't have our confidence in our own understanding of our situation. That we would seek you. We would seek what you're up to, and your heart for us. Not because we're anything, but because you're everything. Would you help us, Lord God, to step into the privilege we have of being called sons and daughters, so that we can take hold of the access we have walking with you. We invite you to this space. I'm mindful that you don't need an invite, and I'm grateful for that. And we invite you to prick hearts, to mend relationships, to free us from bondage, God, to strengthen us in this walk, that we would run well, even in the storm, even in the valley. Help us, God. Bless what we're up here to here today, God. Help me get out of the way of the business you have with your people, so that we can leave here more aligned to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you take a seat, you turn to someone and introduce yourself today. You said it. Thank you. All right. I think it's great that our church looks the way that it does. We're not all the same here. And there's an opportunity for us to get to know each other. I asked someone earlier today, I said, do you have any friends at church? And they said, I have acquaintances. What an opportunity for us to build real relationships here in God's house. Is that me? Is that my beard making that sound happen? I've been working on it. Well, welcome to Discovery Community Church. My name is Bobby. I'm not Pastor John. He does not look like this. But he'll be back next week. And we're continuing today in a series called Real ID. Real ID. And as we do that, we're walking through the book of Hebrews. I want to encourage you to read that book. And when you get to the end, go back and read it again. I think it's a powerful book. It does some things for us, especially in 2026. We're in this place, this space in 2026 that Pastor John has been talking about called the Age of Identity. Some scholars with a lot of letters after their name have coined it that. And what they're finding in this age of identity is that people are questioning who they are. They're questioning if they matter. And they're questioning if they belong. And I think the answers to those questions are important. Do you matter? How are you valued? Do you belong? Those are very important questions. And as Jesus people, we believe that our identity is found in Christ. We believe that our real identity can be known to us. And I believe it's vital that we see ourselves as God sees us. I think so many of us don't like ourselves. So many of us don't realize what makes us valuable. And so in this age of identity where people are questioning who they are, they're questioning if they matter, they're questioning if they belong, I think there's a danger to not understand your value. Because if we don't know how God sees us and why we're here, we can make a mess of our lives. But God is given you purpose. He's given you access and privilege to his throne room. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you can have that same access today. We're going to be hanging out in Hebrews chapter 4. If you have a Bible, you can turn there now. We're going to talk about privileged persons. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 14 through 16. If you don't have a Bible, we've got some in the back near Dana and Dennis. Maybe you're using your phone. If you want to skip ahead and look at my notes, you can go to the YouVersion Bible app. You go to events, and all of my notes are there. So if you just want to lock in on what I'm talking about, you can do that and have the notes later on. If you need a Bible, please raise your hand. We'd love to gift you with one. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The book of Hebrews is written by an unknown author to an unknown audience. But I think it's valuable that we make use of it today. Because in this book, we see that it defines Christ as our high priest, the high priest of Christianity, and he is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, aka the Old Testament. So everything you read about in the Old Testament points to Jesus. He's the fulfillment of all of those promises. The book of Hebrews also encourages us to live by faith. There's a portion of that book that talks about the heroes of our faith, those who have, by faith, done some really awesome things for the kingdom. But I want to talk today about how the access that we have as a privileged person in the eyes of God can allow us to approach in confidence the throne of grace. And that's our real ID. From time to time, I get to travel. And what I like about traveling is I think it is the pinnacle of people watching. I think there's airports, and then there's malls, and then there's Disneyland. And airports have epic people watching because people behave according to their access. So when you get to the airport, I don't know if you noticed this, but there's different lines based on your access. There's the clear line. And the people in the clear line, they seem to have less luggage. They seem happier. They almost kind of skip to their line. There's a person waiting for them in the clear line in a sweater vest who greets them. It's just different. And then there's TSA PreCheck. Less of a skip, more of a mosey, right? But they're moving faster than the everybody else line. That line's moving a little slower. And in SeaTac, there's a spot saver line. I don't know if you know about that life hack. You can go online and put in your gate, and you can get access to your gate a little faster than everybody else. So you have clear, you have TSA PreCheck, you have spot saver and SeaTac, and then you have the everybody else line. And so anyone can have access to clear. Anyone can have access to TSA PreCheck. Anyone can have access to Spot Saver, but not everyone will. Because from what I understand, it costs a little bit to get access to clear. You got to fill out some paperwork. They're going to dive into your business and ask you a bunch of questions. Where you been? Who you know? TSA PreCheck, same thing. Maybe it costs a little bit less. I hang out in Spot Saver. All right, that's where I get down because it's free 99 and I love free. That's where I hang out. But if you want that access, you can have that access. But if you don't have that access, you end up in the everybody else line. And what can happen sometimes if you get to the airport and you have clear access, you have TSA PreCheck, you wouldn't go stand in the everybody else line. Because you have access. You would go to the line in which you've paid the fees and you've filled out the application that you've got the approval, you would go to that line. You would realize the privilege that you have because realized privilege provides realized access. And here the writer of Hebrews says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence." Person who has clear has confidence. They know that their name is on a list. They know that they have that access, but they're not sitting in the confidence that the writer of Hebrews is speaking about. They're sitting in the confidence that the world thinks about when the world thinks about confidence. The world says that confidence is a belief in one's self. The conviction that one can meet life's challenges and the willingness to act accordingly. If I paid my money to get into clear, there's nothing you can do to keep me from it. Or I want to see a manager, right? I've done everything possible for me to get that access. I'm going to leverage that access. The confidence that the writer of Hebrews is talking about is a godly confidence. An unwavering trust and a bold assurance in God's character, God's promises, God's faithfulness. It has nothing to do with you. That kind of confidence. But if you have access to clear, why would you get in the everybody else line? What would cause someone who has access to hang out where they don't belong? Sometimes it can happen, we can lose our identification. And if you lose your identification, you can't get that access that you need. And I think I have my passport now, but it was a long process. I had to go to the post office, and they were really rude. If you work in a post office, I'm sorry if they were rude to me. And it took a long time. If you lose your identification, you don't get that access. That's the way it works in the world. You need identification for your access. But friends, in the kingdom of God, you can't lose your ID. There's nothing that can break your access to the kingdom. If you're a believer in Jesus, you have access to the throne of grace. But I know, like, it doesn't always feel that way. It doesn't always feel like you belong in the clear line. I know some days it feels like you belong in the everybody else line. And I think that's because of sin. I think it's because of my sin. I think it's because of the sin in the world. I think it's because of the sin that happens to us. It can give us the illusion that somehow we are not worthy for the access that we have, that we belong in the everybody else line. The illusion that sin separates a believer from the access to the throne is based on our misidentification of consequences. See, you're going to sin. If there's anybody in here who believes that they don't sin, the Bible says that you're a liar. You're going to sin. And what often happens is that there's consequences when we sin. Something breaks. I sin against someone I'm in relationship with, and something gets weird in that relationship. I violate a law or a policy, and there's a consequence there. And often we can think that the consequences are the reality. We can allow the brokenness someone is doing to us convince us that somehow God doesn't see us in the storm. That somehow we've done so much that his love is somehow off bounds to us. And we belong with everybody else. We're confusing consequence with condemnation. Consequence is the felt reality, but condemnation is the legal declaration of guilt resulting from a verdict of punishment or separation from God. No second chances. You're done. That's condemnation. And I believe some of us aren't leaning into the access we have to the throne of grace because we are confusing our consequences with condemnation. Paul writes this in Romans 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. But we still sin. We still get into that cycle of running to the same things that feel like they have a grip on us. Paul says this. He talks about the thing that I don't want to do, I do. He says that it's not me, but it's this flesh. So while we're here on this side of heaven, we're still going to sin, but don't confuse that with condemnation. But why do we sin? We're not perfect, but we are new creatures. When you accept Jesus into your life, you become a new creation. Jesus tells Nicodemus, you are born again. But how many of you know, just because I'm born again, my circumstances often stay the same? At the place I work doesn't change. I get saved, but they don't necessarily. By the way, that's why you're there anyway. I get saved, but my friend groups, unless I do something, stay the same. My family stays the same. He doesn't push a button and all of a sudden our behaviors become different. We still have some habits. What I want to encourage you today is that we win the war. We already have victory. And we're going to lose some battles. But don't get caught up in assuming that because you lost the battle that somehow you lost your access. sanctification. We get salvation that makes us new in the eyes of God, and we get sanctification that makes us more and more like Jesus. And 2 Peter, we read, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love." Some of you are tired because you're like, that's too many things. I'm not going to do that. Watch what it says here. Make every effort. When you walk into the airport and you've got your clear, you don't even look at the everybody else line. I know where I belong. Make every effort. Goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, love. He continues, "For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. You have been cleansed from your past sins. And you've been cleansed from the sins that you create or that you engage in right now. And the sins that you're going to commit tomorrow. And the sins that you're going to commit in 10 years. Now, please don't hear this thing and, yeah, I get to go out and sin all I want. Absolutely not. Make every effort. And as you do that, make sure that you're leveraging the access that God has given you. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election to the clear line. That's where you belong. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here's a secret. Change is hard. I don't know if you knew that. So like I told you, I like free, so I do the spot saver. Last time I was traveling, I was on autopilot. I got to the airport, and I stood right in the everybody else line. And then something happened. I know that I need Jesus because I don't have a lot of patience. You ever stand in line and you look at a person and there's like 10 feet in front of them and they don't take up that space? Why are you holding me hostage? Everybody lock in, let's get this done, right? That's what happened. I was standing in the everybody else line and people were talking, having meetings in the line. I'm like, what is happening here? Wait a minute. I have access to a different place. So I picked up my bags and I moseyed on to the line where I was supposed to be. But friends, we live on autopilot. Because autopilot is comfortable. That's where I thought I belonged, because I wasn't thinking. Just going about the process as I regularly do it. But you see, the comfort of autopilot is hostile to the things of privilege and access. The ways in which this world works is hostile to the things of God. The Bible tells us to watch and pray. Watch and pray. Are you standing in the right line? When you're about to lean into that argument, we just celebrated 10 years of marriage in January. Yeah. Y'all pray for me. But what's happening in that space is now I can see when an argument is about to happen. If I say this, she's going to say that, and I'm going to feel this, and I'm going to say that, and then we're going to be there. But if I can see that, I can change something. If I'm alert to it, if I'm not on autopilot,
Let me tell you, I just told you I don't have patience. If I'm on autopilot, we're going to get into that argument. Watch and pray. Be aware of what's going on. Speak to God, and then take time to hear him. Paul writes this in Romans, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Our minds need to be renewed. Did you know there's a survey out there that says that Christians consume just as much or more media as everybody else? All media. Everything. We're feeding ourselves with the brokenness of this world. And then wonder why we feel like we belong in the everybody else line. Renew your mind. Paul goes on to say, then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will. Two ways we can know God's will. Number one, read your Bible. Number two, pray. And prayer is not just a genie in the bottle, God, give me, give me, give me, give me. Oftentimes, the best prayer sessions I've had are silence. Listening to what the Father wants me to hear. And then when I hear it, I test it against Scripture. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. Don't live on autopilot. Lean into the connection that we have in Jesus. He paid the price. He filled out the application for us to have access to clear. Let's use it. John 3:16. I like reading John 3:16 through 18 because at the baseball games, you know, the sports games, they just put up John 3:16. That's not the whole story. Watch this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's good news. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Jesus is not here to separate us from God. He's here to unite us to him and to unite us to one another. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you are not condemned. But watch this. Whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. God's design is not for just special people to have access to a clear. God's design is that he paid the price. He filled out the application. He stood in line for you. He talked to the people at the post office on your behalf so you could have access to clear. God's design is for everyone in the everybody else line to have access to clear. Salvation makes us all sons and daughters, but sanctification makes us more like Christ. 1 John, we read, "Dear friends," our real ID. "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure." We've been sealed and filled with the Holy Spirit as evidence to our access. Even if you feel some days like you belong in the everybody else line, I want you to know that when God sees you, he sees Jesus Christ. He doesn't see your shame. He doesn't see the infraction. He sees his son. So, people watching. The cool thing about the people in Clear is that they get this person who has like the little sweater vest on and the little iPad, and they always look so happy. Maybe I'm imagining all of this, but they seem to just be living a better life. But this person in this sweater vest is there to meet this person, make sure that they get what they need. They're like the concierge. If you're in clear and you meet the person in the sweater vest and you try to go get in another line, I would imagine they'd be like, hey, no, you don't belong over there. You belong over here. Let me show you. If there's a consequence that you might have because you're late in the morning, the person who is wearing that sweater vest, that concierge, can go ahead and radio up to the gate. They're on their way. They're on their way. Hold that plane. That's who the Holy Spirit is for us. He's there to be with us, to remind us of our access, to make sure that if we step out of the right line, he brings us back into alignment. He's there to comfort us when we fail, when we're discouraged. We're not here to do this alone. Jesus says this, he says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. He does tell you to relax. Question. Don't answer it. Just think about it. What would my life look like if I leaned into the access that God has given me through Jesus Christ? What would my life look like if I leaned into the access that God has granted me through Jesus Christ? Perhaps you would realize that sin can separate you from God. Perhaps you would realize that shame can't resonate. Perhaps you would realize that hope doesn't dissipate. Because you're a privileged person. You have access. You have the ability to walk different and talk different and think different. You are not who you used to be. I haven't said this in a long time, but it's still true. Me 30 years ago, you wouldn't want preaching to you. God is good. God is good. And he's not through with me yet. I'm not bragging on me, I'm bragging on him. He's not through with you yet. You know your story. I had a leader tell me once, if God did all that for you, why would he stop now? I couldn't answer it. What would my life look like if I walked in the privilege God has granted me through what Christ did? What would my life look like? That's your real ID. Someone who has access. Someone who God knows. He knows you. The maker of heaven and earth who said, stars, knows you intimately. That's who you are. Privileged princesses and princes who can approach God in confidence. I've been talking a little bit. We looked at Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Mercy and grace, not words that we use a lot in 2026, so I'll look them up for you. You're welcome. Mercy is the gift of God's undeserved kindness and compassion. The gift of God's undeserved kindness and compassion. It's the idea that God withholds punishment from sinners even though they deserve it. And grace and mercy go together. Grace is unmerited favor. God favors us. He shows us approval and kindness and blessing us with good things that we don't deserve and we can never earn. Our walk with Jesus is not like the economy of the world, where I do this and then you do that and then there's like this contract. Our life with God is covenant. It's deeper, it's richer, it's more valuable than any piece of paper. He gives us mercy and grace not because we're anything, but because he's everything. And he extends that grace, this idea of common grace, is that God extends his grace to people who don't know him, people in the everybody else line. You see people all the time and you're like, if God is real, then why does that person have this and that and this and that? Why is their health this way? Why is their relationships this way? First, mind your business. Second, he's God. He can do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, with who he wants. We should celebrate him. We should celebrate him not for the common grace that we see out there. We should celebrate him for the saving grace we receive in here. We are privileged princesses and princes. We get to approach him and ask him for what we need. Again, he's not a genie. So when we ask God, we want to ask him according to his will. The Bible says in 1 John, this is a confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Again, how do we know God's will? It's the Bible and in prayer, right? And if your answers, when you're sitting in silence, that your answers to your prayers sound like you, go check it. Because it's really easy for us to trick ourselves with what we want. Ask him according to his will. God, help me understand your word as I read it. He'll answer that prayer. God, show me how to how I should show up at work. Show me how to love this person who's hurting. Show me how to be more generous. Father, show me how to be more good, how to grow in knowledge and self-control. He'll answer that prayer. God, give me a Lamborghini. He's not into that kind of thing. Okay. Ephesians 3:2 says, in him and through him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I was studying this week and I was thinking, I want for all of us to have more freedom, to understand that there is therefore now no condemnation. I think the enemy wants to trick us with this illusion that sin somehow separates us from God so that we will stay still and stagnant, that we won't do what Matthew 28 talks about and go forth and spread the gospel, because who am I? I keep messing up. Yeah, and you're going to keep messing up. Now let's get to work. I pray that we would lean into that freedom and seek God for the grace and mercy that we need. I'm going to land now. You know, Chris, when you grow up Pentecostal, it's easy to be up here for like 4 hours, man. I'm not going to do that, though. I'm not going to do that. I just want us to be encouraged. I'm a rule follower. And so I like the idea that people who have access to Clear can use it. They did the thing, they paid the fee, they filled out the application, they did whatever was necessary for them to have that access. I want them to have that access. I think that's okay. More so, I want God's people to understand their privilege and their access to be able to approach God's throne of grace. Because in that place, that's where that change happens. That's where that sanctification happens. It doesn't happen hanging out in a line that you don't belong in. John 15. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It is not his desire for us to hang out in places that we don't belong. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Paul writes this in Romans 6, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal life. Now. Not someday. You're living eternal life right now. So please, don't count your access counterfeit. Lean in. I want to do something different today as I close. I don't want to give you any steps to follow. I want to give you some questions. I want to encourage the question that is toughest for you to answer that you write it down. The question that makes you uncomfortable, you write that down. Take it to your prayer time this week. Let God speak to you. My first question is, what do you run to when you're running from God? What do you run to when you're running from God? Is it your phone? Is it a relationship? Is it a habit? A substance? What do you run to when you're running from God? Second question is kind of similar. What's shaping shame in your life? What's the thing that you keep coming back to week after week, month after month, year over year, and that when you're in that season of struggling with that, you feel like you belong on the everybody else line. But you're not good enough for God's love and grace. My next question is, what do you tell yourself when you fall into the wrong line? We read in the Bible that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Some of us need to work on how we talk to ourselves. What do you tell yourself when you fall into the wrong line? My next question is, how do you believe God sees you when you fail? What's that story that you tell yourself? That he's just waiting for you to walk outside so he can hit you with a lightning bolt? That he's done with you? That there's nothing that you could do to make it right? It's kind of true. There's nothing you can do to make it right. Jesus did all of it. But what are you telling yourself? What do you believe God sees when you fail? My last question is, what will you do the next time you fail to remember your privilege? What will you do the next time you fail to remember your privilege? In 2026, I understand that the word privilege brings to mind a lot for people. I'm not here to navigate that business. There's a deeper meaning to the privilege that you have in Jesus. That you have access to him. That he wants to be in relationship with you. You're not an afterthought to him. When I was a kid, my pastor used to say, not only does God love you, he likes you. Here's what we're going to do. This is your opportunity. This is your moment to respond to what God is placing on your heart. Some of you came in today and you were thinking that, maybe you still are, thinking that God can't possibly love me. I've done too much. I pray that you have been challenged to see that differently. Maybe you need prayer. Maybe you need somebody to stand with you and point you back to God's truth. That's what we're here to do. Maybe you're celebrating the realization that you have that access and you've been using that access and God is shifting and growing and you want to just celebrate with someone. You just want people to know that he's doing it. He's doing the thing. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I'm going to be, but I'm not different. I'm different. We want to celebrate with you. In the book of Acts, we look at the early church and that the early church was big into spreading the gospel, but also meeting felt needs. And I love this church because we have a heart for our community and to meet felt needs. One of the ways we get to hear what those felt needs are is through this connection card. Yes, we have our sharing table up, but we also can connect with you or want to connect with you. Understand what you might be up against. See how we might be a resource. So what's going to happen is I'm going to pray. My friends are going to pass around some baskets. Hey, if you came today and you're ready to give, we're so grateful that you are a faithful giver and that you're leaning into God's call on your life to be generous. But if this is your first time here, I just want to say we don't want your money. And if this is a church that you call your church, we want to encourage you to be prayerful about how God wants you to be generous. So that's what we'll do. I'll pray. We'll pass those baskets. We'll sing some songs, and I'll come back and give you a couple more announcements and let you go. I'm so grateful for what God is doing in the lives of his people. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you desire relationship with imperfect people. I'm grateful that your divine plan was to send your son for us to do what we couldn't do. And that's atone for the brokenness of the sin that we create and that we experience on the behalf of others. And yet you're there, encouraging us to have the confidence to seek you for mercy and grace, to ask for whatever we need. Father, will you help us to not assume that because we fall short, we're somehow incapable of your love for us? Will you help us to fall in love with your word and listening to your response to our prayers? I thank you for lives that are brand new Christians and those of us who've been following you for a long time and those of us who might be in seasons of doubt. That you would strengthen us, that you would reveal yourself to us. Help with that confidence. Lord, we love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
because of who I am, not because of what you've done, not because of what I've done, but because of who you are.
Joining us here today, just a couple quick announcements before you go. The graduation recognition Sunday is happening June 7th, and we're going to celebrate our graduates, and you can scan that QR code or let Abby know. You can send Abby an email at abby@discochurch.com. My second invitation for you is to meet someone new. There's an opportunity for you to leave here, maybe not with a friend, but with a new name. And so before we tear down chairs and do all that, I just want to encourage you to do that. Jason's going to put us to work on chairs in about 15 minutes and all the things. He said, yo.
Let's do it.
If you haven't met Jason, you should. Hey, next Sunday is family service. So our littles will be amongst us. And so I'm not trying to scare you away. I just want you to know that we're all going to be here together. So I will see you. Have a great week. God bless you.